We're going to start this morning in the Sunday in the church part here with Acts chapter 28. And we went through in Sunday school what happened to Paul when he told people what he was telling them. And when he showed them that he was no longer the Christian persecuting killer kind of a guy. And I'm sorry, Acts chapter 9. We'll go to Acts chapter 9 first here. Acts chapter 9. So this is going to take a while. This is kind of the meat of the Paul stuff. We've been through what the scriptures are. That's the King James Bible has to be rightly divided. We showed that. We went back and we looked at what it was before Paul. Old Testament, Gospels, Great Commission, Acts 1 through 8. We looked at the specific verses that told us to follow Paul and what Paul has in his ministry to do, to follow him. He's to be out there and lead. He's to be out there and show us his ways, his manner of life, not just doctrinal things. And then Wednesday night, we look at what it was to be after Paul. And that's the Hebrews. Even though Paul wrote Hebrews, supposedly, it hasn't been nailed down. Probably was. And I still don't understand yet why he would, or when he would teach something different to the Jews, but he did. The fact is that Hebrews does not put forth the same doctrine that Paul puts forth in his epistles. That's a fact. It's different. So, based on what Paul said, we can't follow the Hebrews. Well, it's not written to Gentiles, it's written to Hebrews. Where that fits in, I really don't know. Was it something he gave to them during the time they were preaching to the Gentiles? Was it something he gave to them before he went to the Gentiles? I mean, he went to them, but he was, remember, he was with the Jews a lot at the beginning. But why would he teach them that stuff then? I don't know. He wouldn't have. Really, he wouldn't have. Would he have written that thing privately to give to the Jews, knowing that Jesus met with him? He said, yeah, I want you to write something to the Jews. I'm going to put in this that which is perfect when it comes. I'm going to put it in the back for the tribulation because they need to hear this. That's kind of how I would explain that thing. I can't prove it at all. But I know that the Hebrew doctrine is different than what Paul preaches in his epistles. So, whatever, I'm trusting the fact that King James Bible is inspired. God told those guys what to write, and they finally heard him and wrote it. And the order of those books is inspired by God. Hebrews comes after the Gentiles with Paul, and it's all tribulational stuff. That's what I stand on, is where it's at in that King James Bible. That's about all we got, which is pretty good to stand on that. So, now we're going to start, and it's going to take us a couple sermons easily. Look what it was that Paul taught. What was it he was saying? What was his mission field to come down here and do what it was? Now, do we remember where to go to find out what are his details of what it is he was going to do? And we have to just do a fast review. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. We won't go through the whole story on the street there, but this is what he was told. This is what Ananias was told that Paul was going to be doing, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, this is Ananias, because Ananias didn't want to go. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. God chose him to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So yes, he was still going to talk to the Jews. And yes, he was still going to talk to kings. And of course, he was going to go before the Gentiles. And we find that by the time he's done with Acts, he's done with going to the Jews, except he's always wanted them to be saved. He's never given up on that part. And he says in verse 16 that Paul's going to have to suffer. So there's part of it. We go to Acts 22, where Paul's given his testimony of what it was that Ananias was told. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. Acts 22:14, about Ananias here, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, this is what Ananias told Paul, that thou shouldst know his will. Now there that is again, by the way, that's John 6 and Colossians 1, remember the will, raise him and raise it, but anyway, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see, he's died and resurrected. He's being told by Ananias, you're going to see him. And says, see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. That's I've left that verse out. That is a marvelous verse on what Paul's going to have to do. One more verse to add to that list where Paul met with Jesus Christ. Ananias says, you're not only going to see him, but you're going to hear him talk to you. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Okay, so there it is again. All men. It's just that he finally shuts the Jews down in due time. Okay, and then we go to, isn't that a good verse? That's I'm sorry I've left that one out. I don't think it was in my Bible. Maybe it was in yours, but it just popped in the other night. Got to keep seeing these things. And then we go to Acts 26, his actual testimony to Agrippa. And I know you know this, and we're going to read it again anyway. This is the meat section right here. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. By the way, we see up in Acts 25, 23 to 24, who he's talking to. He's talking to more than just King Agrippa and Festus. There's a crew of people up there. We read that in chapter 25 up there. But anyway, what he says that Jesus said is in verse 16. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here it is. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, just like Ananias told him. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, because he was killing them, persecuting them, unto whom now I send thee. So he's going to send them back to them for a different purpose. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. For upon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So that's what he was doing. That's what he was going to do. Now, if you want to give yourself a self-examination here, how are you doing with what it is that Paul's been trying to do to us? He's been trying to tell us what the risen Christ told Paul, and this is what he was told. To open our eyes, turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. How are we doing? And we should ask ourselves that all the time, because we're going to go through what it is Paul was presenting to us in his ministry. Keep in mind that he was hassled, he was persecuted, he was mocked, he was ignored, he was run out of town, not just because of what he said, but because he changed his life. He was a Christian persecutor to one who was trying to help them and teach them. There has to be a change in our life, not just what we say. People can ignore what we say. Have you learned that? They don't care what we say anymore. That used to stir the mud. Well, that NIV Bible, can I show you something that's missing in your Bible? And you tell them things. There's been so many people in the media today telling people so many different things that people don't care what anybody says anymore. But to show them something, that's when you're going to stir the mud. Now, let's go to Acts 28 now, and let's try to look at what it is that Paul was trying to teach to people in his ministry. What he was trying to do. Who's on there this morning, Sam? Same crowd? Okay. Acts 28. Not that the same crowd is dull and boring, but I just... Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. That's pretty bold. By the time he's done to the book of Acts and he's been through Galatians and Thessalonians, he's written all those things and said all those things and done all those things, lots of which the Jews were there, especially in the early part of his ministry, which is why he had signs and things like that at the beginning. By the time he's done, there's no healing. There's no signs. There's no nothing except what he says. And he's going to tell the Gentiles about the salvation of God. That's excellent right there. That's marvelous. Now, that's point one. That was quick. Point two is a little longer. Point three is a lot longer. And I don't know if we'll do point four or not until tonight, but it's interesting. Point two, look at Acts chapter 20. So he was there to bring salvation unto the Gentiles. Acts chapter 20. As he did that, and there are those that believe, You see in verse 28, Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock," which is the only time the word flock is ever used along those lines, "over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." See, Paul knew that there were going to be wolves coming after this. He knew that. How would he know that? I imagine the risen Savior told him that. But anyway. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of all, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So Paul cared, and he wanted people to get it. He knew that not only were there going to be people that were going to get it and get excited and get some changes in their life, he knew that there was going to be some wolves, and he knew that some of them were going to come from within the people. "And of your own selves shall men arise." From right within here. "And they will speak perverse things, and they'll try to get people to follow them." He says, so watch. So, his job is to go to the Gentiles, and he was feeding the church of God. Now, remember, we have Jews, we have Gentiles. Now what do we have? Church of God. And we're not talking about the denomination Church of God. They coined that one pretty quick, didn't they? That's going to coin, but that's not what he's talking about. Church of God is a body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. It isn't just a church, it's the Church of God. So really, most of what Paul teaches is to the Church of God. And it could be Jew, it could be Gentile, anybody that trusts the Lord as their Savior. So you know, I've changed, I've added more often the risen Christ. We follow Paul, sure, we teach the teachings of Paul. But I try to remind myself to say, but those are the teachings of the risen Christ. We are following Jesus, the risen Savior, not the one that was teaching to the Jews. Same one, but this one died, buried, resurrected. Now we're teaching those teachings. I think that helps some people, sort of, maybe. Now, in this case, we say that Paul went out to the Gentiles. Yes, he did. He also talked to Jews. But the feeding is to the church of God. That's the Christians. So maybe that's why a lot of people aren't interested in the food in the King James Bible, because it's written to church of God. It's written to Christians. Very possible that these people have another Jesus, which is why they're not interested in what Paul has to say, because they wouldn't be part of the church of God. Very possible. Very possible. Look at verse 33 of, no, go 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 32. "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Then Paul makes an interesting statement in verse 33. "Even as I please all men in all things." He did? After what we just read in Sunday school? He didn't please a whole lot of people. But still, he says, "Even as I please all men in all things, and seeking mine own profit, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." He was not the one that lit the fires. But the fires were lit because of what he said and what he had to show them. But he wasn't meaning to light fires, right? Because it says, give none offense. Don't go out there and purposely offend somebody, whether it be Jew, Gentile, or Church of God. And Paul would do anything he could, other than partaking with them. He would try to talk with these people. And the only way that that could happen is only by what cometh contention? Pride. So who is it that couldn't have pride? It'd have to be Paul. So the people that he's talking to, who would get contentious, and they would get angry, and they would get mad, etc., etc., they had to have a pride that they were being peeled back on. Paul wouldn't let that happen. He couldn't let that happen. Paul knew who he was. And he knew what Christ had done for him. And when he's trying to witness and talk to these people, as far as he's concerned, he's the worst of the bunch. Now, I wonder if maybe that isn't why sometimes we have the problems we have, or I have the problems I have in talking to people. I want them to get this because I know it's not me. And I looked at that verse and I said, you know, Paul wasn't seeking anything for his. Why do you want your kids to get it? Why do you want somebody else to get it? Why do you want somebody somewhere to see whatever it is? Why? Is it because of them or because of you? Is there a pride issue here? Look at Romans chapter 7. So Paul knew who he was. All the time he's trying to show people his manner of life and what he was taught doctrinally and of the teachings, his ways. I'm sure Paul had a few things together, wouldn't you think so? Sure. But he does say in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So, Paul knew he was a wretched man. He knew that he did some things he shouldn't have, and he didn't do some things he should have. Am I saying that right? And he fought the battle all the time, and he wanted people to have what it was he had. Not the sin that was in him, but he wanted them to have the joy of the fact that that sin has been separated from him. He wanted to show that to people. Well, you would think Paul would have lived that perfect outward testimony so people would get it. Apparently not. I mean, apparently not. But still, he wasn't going to be the one to light a fire. He was not doing it for himself. He was not proud of what it was he had changed. He was not proud of the fact that he quit persecuting Christians. He had been a Christian persecutor. All the different things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we can learn from Paul on this thing. That yes, I've done this, and I've grown to this, and I've done that, and I want somebody else to get it. I'm not trying to judge them, blah, 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 but I'm getting it. Well, maybe there's some other things. Just remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. This is the part where Paul talks about this person went up to the third heaven and come to visions and revelations of the Lord, which we know it had to be him because of how the rest of the chapter goes. But he says in verse 5, "Of such an one will I glory," meaning the Lord. "Yet of myself I will not glory." I like that, myself. There's a clue too. You know. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he that heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh," and there it goes. So, Paul gets all these revelations, right? That's marvelous stuff. Sees the Lord and the whole deal. We have a Bible that has everything that God wants us to see and to read. And it would be very easy for us, King James people, which I, by the way, I think is a huge problem King James people have, is a huge pride in this Bible that we have. It's the Word of God. It's all that stuff that we believe it to be and says it to be. It says it to be. But we tend to forget what we were. And yet our flesh is still dealing with that stuff all the time. We haven't attained. We haven't arrived yet. And Paul says, I want to try to get these folks to see it. And I don't believe that he participated in their stuff to get them to see it. To be all things to all people. Don't forget, Paul also knew who to avoid. He knew who not to partake with. He knew who to withdraw from. He knew who not to have company with. He knew who to mark. He knew who to reject. He knew who to cast off. He knew who to rebuke. And if you know who to stay away from because they don't want what Paul has to say, you tried, and you pull away from the very ones that Paul says to pull away from, I don't believe we'll have half the frustrations that we still have today. So we got to watch this Paul thing really carefully. Here's this man who's had revelations and seen the Lord, and he knows what to say. And he says, "Listen, I want everybody to get it." And he says, "There, I want these people to get it. I want them to get it. I'll be able to be amongst them for them to get it." So right away we think, well, see, now there's an example. There's Paul. He's over here in the video arcade. He's over here in the TV Central. He's probably down here in the lounge with everybody, trying to talk of what as they watch TV and drink the stuff they drink and do the stuff they do and dress the way they dress. And he can be around that kind of dress today because he doesn't look. His flesh is not impressed. His flesh is not attracted. This is how people think, right? So then we should be able to be like Paul. We should be able to do things in this world too. Have grace, of course, and mercy, of course. So we should be able to do everything that they're doing because, see, we want to be able to get Paul to them. You with me? But just remember this. Paul did know who to avoid. He did know who to stay away from. He did know who to tell to withdraw from. He did know who not to have company with. He knew not to be around those people who are going to tempt him. He knew to reject who needs to be rejected. He knew all these things, so he wouldn't do that. That kind of, to me, cleaned out his crowd. He was willing to talk to those who were willing to listen to him. And he would do everything he can to try to get them to see it. But if he's around these people that aren't getting it, and he can't be in that crowd, he can't be in that attire, he can't be in this place, you know what Paul, I believe, didn't do? I don't think he went there. Or he left. Or he got them to leave. Or he turned it off. Or whatever. So, and yet he was still what? He was still persecuted. But what did he do? He went on. He didn't hang around the persecuted crowd and fight them and be frustrated and tearful and angry and how am I going to get this? They can't get this. He says, I guess I got to go. I got to let them go. I got more people to talk with. I got more things to do in my own life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This, I think, is one of the hardest things we have to do. And Paul's list, sure, we have grace. You know how easy it is to have grace? It's no big deal. Oh, but if you throw truth in there, now we've got a problem, don't we? How are you going to do the truth? Are you going to say something? Maybe it's just how you look. Maybe it's because you're going to be there, but you're not going to do it. And that's putting truth into a situation. If one of your closest friends or closest church friends invites you to do something, you know what you ought to say? No. Don't go, I don't do that. Why do you do that? You know? That's the hurt we can put on somebody. No, I don't do that anymore. And if I'm around it, it's gonna pull me into that, and I really don't want to do that. Now, you shouldn't be asking somebody to do something that's going to cause them to stumble. That's the other half of the issue. I just believe that Paul could be what Paul was because he had the guts to get away from those that he knows he had to get away from. Otherwise, why would he tell us to get away from all these different... Remember we did this a week ago, all these different things that people were supposed to stay away from? Try it, talk to them, give them the spiel, but if they don't want to hear it, scratch them. Mark them, he says, and don't hang around them. Don't partake. Avoid them. Withdraw from them. Have no company with. There's where we fall apart. We want to have grace without truth. We want to have mercy. We want to pray for them. Sure we do. We're going to have tears for them. So if I'm going to have tears, I really can't just pull them aside. After a while, we need to pull them aside. Get them aside. Us get aside. What has this got to do with Paul's ministry? Because this is how Paul survived. This is how Paul didn't go back because he didn't hang around those that are going to drag him back. And if he got clobbered for it, he went on. He didn't stick around to keep getting clobbered. There's one example here. We went back to where he was attacked. But there were people there that he wanted to see how they're doing. He wasn't going back for another round of beatings. So that's what's hard for us, is to learn from this aspect of Paul. He's there to feed the church of God, not those that don't want to hear it, don't want to be around it. Okay, run along, he said. That's hard. Is that not hard? That's hard. You don't know how hard that is for me. You've got your problems, I've got mine. I've got people, I want them to get this thing, and they're not. I've shut up in so many cases. I'm just waiting. This world's going to show some people what's really going on. What they're saying in the news media is not what's going on. And if we have family and friends that want to watch that and believe that, you learn that as you get older, don't you? Just let them. But don't let that discourage you from what Paul has for you. Because he's there to feed us, the church of God, somebody who has the real Jesus, King James Bible, a place to come where it's comfortable and warm and sort of soft, depends on what side of the room you sit on, and learn and change. Because you don't find this hardly anywhere anymore. We've got people out there that are seeking what it is that we're learning. And they're in a much harder environment than we are. This is the only time they get it at all. So, Paul knew how to be there for everybody, but if they didn't want him, he knew to step aside. And that's something we don't remember. Remember, he said, look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. My point is I want us to realize that Paul is there for those who want to hear what Paul has to say. If they don't, whatever. I talked to this man the other night and said, listen, if your friends are not concerned about what's going on in church, if they don't have a problem with the music, if they don't see a problem with everybody praying for something and it's not happening, here's an example. I hope I don't lose my train of thought here. Here's a man told me the other day that their church has been struggling to have a prayer meeting once a month or once a week or something for this nation because it's going so bad. And they want to have this prayer session where they all get together and they just pray really hard. They haven't been able to have it because everybody's been sick. So I said to this guy, I said, listen, you know where I'm going to this? If you think that you guys are going to get together with the power of prayer and save this nation, why is everybody getting sick? Is God making them sick? No. But why can't you pray away the sickness? Do you not see the folly of this power of prayer baloney that's flying around this country? So, when people don't see that, they don't see that, or they don't understand that the Jesus teachings out of Great Commission also include signs and speaking in tongues and playing with deadly snakes and drinking Kool-Aid with a little twitch put to it, all that stuff. If they don't see that, they're not going to be interested in Paul. They're going to think you're nuts. Maybe you can ask a question that makes them think about something, but they don't think anything's wrong. I have learned that if they don't think anything is wrong, they don't know why we're making such a fuss about Paul. This is what I've learned. They've got to recognize something's not right. I don't know what it is. And those people that have recognized something's wrong, I've shown them the stuff in Paul, and they just go, what? Cling! It just works. Totally makes sense. And then we got them. That's just how fast it gets. But try to get somebody to see something is wrong. It's like trying to get me not to eat this other chocolate sometime today. Oh, good, it landed on the piano. It's still mine. Anyway, I can't believe I threw that away. I mean, that's like, it's like throwing my water glass is gone, you know? I mean, and I can still see it. That's what really bothers me. I can still see. Right here. Right there. There's a green thing. Fluorescent green. Right there. That's hard. Show me. Can you go get that for me? There are times I'm all talk. I want you to know that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There we go. Whew. That's like Linus having his blanket taken away. You know what I mean? Okay. Bob's going to bring me an Altoid and we're done. But that Altoid is going to have some good chocolate on it. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23. This is why when Paul says, not to strive. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, he says in verse 23. 2 Timothy 2:23. What? Well, they're just going to engender strife. Paul doesn't want strife. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If they want to hear this, this is how we show it to them. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They've got to get out of their mess. Paul's the way to get them out of their mess, because he's going to show them the ways of the risen Christ. But he says, don't strive. Well, some of these people are going to make me strive. So don't be around them. This is how he deals with it. Paul's not one of those kind of guys that can be all things among all people and just kind of be their part of the whole sin scene. He can't do that. Listen, I will talk to people who want to hear about it. I will talk to people and try to get them to see what's wrong with what's going on in the deception today, because they think this Obama guy, he's just God on this earth. Yes, he is, small g, getting pretty close. You can't show that to anybody. They're going to have to just learn that this book law that came out is really going to hurt. But if you read the way the government says it, oh, we're not going to do you folks. We're just talking about China. No, we know by now that what they really mean is we're not going to bother China. We're going to stop you folks. That's what they're going to do. See, it's a law that is absolutely unreal. They actually passed this thing. I thought it was a... They passed this thing. That you can't sell books, clothes, anything used, unless you got a no lead sticker in it. That's amazing. Beginning in August. February 10th. I thought it said August. Anyway. It's amazing. It's amazing. And they say, not in the law they don't say this, but they say this verbally. You know how politicians are verbally. Well, no, you're going too far with this. You conspiracy Christian Bible people. We're not going to stop you from doing the garage sales. And yes, you can sell your skirt to somebody else or give it to them. We know there's no lead in it. We don't know there's no lead in it. I got a lot of clothes that have lead in it. Haven't been able to get rid of that lead for a long time. I'm going to have to get a sticker put up here. No lead. Got the government telling us to get the lead out. I can't believe, what do they care? Anyway. So what are we going to do with this? Well, we're going to tell those that want to hear it. Try to perk a little bit, and if they don't want to hear it, Paul tells us, listen, it's going to kill you. Get away. It's going to kill you if you don't get away. Somehow. Okay, so let's look at a couple quick things about the Church of God here, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go back to there. He says he's going to feed the Church of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And we are the Church of God. So he's going to take salvation to the Gentiles. He's going to feed the Church of God. That's Paul's ministry. And if anybody wants to jump onto the Church of God ship, they're more than welcome to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Here he talks about unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's the Church of God. So, yes, we can tell people that, yes, Paul was there for the Gentiles. He was there for the Jews, too, but they rejected him. So God finally says, we're done with the Jews. He was there for the Gentiles, and if they get saved, they become part of the Church of God. Those are the ones that Paul reaches, as the Church. Those are the ones he's teaching and feeding, as the Church of God. And so, just a little clarification there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know why some folks aren't here this morning? They don't want to be fed what Paul wants to feed them. It's that simple. Either they don't like the cook, they don't like the waitresses or the waiters, they don't like the furniture, there's something that they don't like. No, they don't want to be fed by Paul. Because that's what we feed here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Isn't that marvelous about Paul? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. So he persecuted the church of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Church of God consisted of Jews and Gentiles off and on starting that thing up. That's a shocker for people. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Maybe this will help you get a little bit of a meaning something here. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Is that the local church? No, that's Christians. That's the church of God, the body of Christ. I like how these people always make this big fuss about divorce in verse 2 down there, but they somehow seem to skip verse 4 and 5. Anyway, just some things there. So here we go. Paul came to bring salvation to the Gentiles, and when they did, he would take them into a church situation, the body of Christ, and then he would feed them. Church of God now. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, in order to do that, Paul got something started. It existed, but he's kind of cleaning house here a little bit. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So, there are local churches, there are assemblies, there are gatherings of people, whether it be in somebody's house, home church, or in a building, or wherever they could meet. His ways were to be taught in that church. Now, he says in verse 17, for this cause, what cause? Well, let's go back to 14. I write none of these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. See, Paul wasn't just a teacher. They belonged to him. Do you see the difference there? One of the things I did like about Jack Hiles, believe it or not, was that Jack Hiles took care of his students, his kids, his college, and his church people like they were his kids. I remember that. You remember that? That's the way he was with those people. He may have taught them the wrong thing. He was a huge one on the Great Commission. But I got so many stories I remember about him. He stood up in front of a gym and said, listen, we're not playing this game till your cheerleaders get more clothes on. I remember that one. He stopped the game. Man, I don't want my kids to see this stuff. Now either get them dressed or get out of here. You know what that would do today? You know what's also funny, though? If you look at Christian schools, and you look at public schools, and a lot of public schools, their cheerleaders are dressed better than Christian school cheerleaders. You probably never noticed that. The world is, and I know they're wicked and they're dressed in horror, I know that, but there are examples of people in the world that are dressed better than the Christians. Maybe I should put it this way. Compared to the way people are dressing in the world, more and more Christians are worse anymore. What's going on? You know what's interesting? You get on that my little Snoop book. I should call it just my Facebook, but it's Snoop book. Again, I snoop around a little bit. Oh, I've seen stuff. And it's the Christians that are talking stupid, and they're saying dumb little things, and the worldly people out there are busy with a life. It's weird. I'm seeing things like, I just got home and did... And I don't see that from some of the friends that are of their lost people. They got a life. That's a rotten life. It's of the world. I know that. I'm not sticking up for that. But I'm seeing Christians are exposing themselves in that internet thing that is really disappointing and discouraging in some ways, because why are they, don't they have a family? Don't they have some people to hang around? Why are they going to get out? Why do they do all this stuff that they're talking about? It's weird. It's a weird thing. So, Christians, 10,000 instructors in Christ, but they don't have a guy like Paul. You got everybody out there teaching. They got books, they got authors, they got musicians, they got pastors, they got youth pastors, they got parents, they got everybody teaching them stuff, but nobody really cares for them. And we see there where Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." He took possession of those people because they wanted to get the risen Savior. And he says, "Wherefore," meaning I care, I'm there for you. He says, "Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And then he says, "That's why I'm sending you Timothy, so you can learn his ways, Paul's ways." What are Paul's ways according to Timothy? Aye. Who wants those ways? But that's the ways Paul wants those people to be, because it pleases the risen Savior. We learned that with Paul. Do you know how many fathers are out there that don't care about their kids? But their dad. I've heard it said anybody can be a father, but not be a, not, oh, how that thing goes. Anybody can have kids, but to be their father, the time it takes. Without overdoing it, without destroying your fatherhood and your manhood to have a job and provide for your family, to step up to do the things that the wife won't do. I mean, we're not talking about that. Paul says here, listen, you've got a lot of people that teach you stuff, but nobody cares about you. But Paul does. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I think a pastor who's going to be preaching Paul is eventually going to care about the people. And he doesn't like to see what he sees because he knows the damage it's going to do. You don't probably understand what it is to be a pastor kind of a guy, know what he knows, and not be able to say anything. Because it's really not his place to say it. But he knows what's going on in some areas. It's like a father who knows things going on with his children. But he can't say anything because he knows he'll drive them away. And we've always said, oh, go ahead and tell them. It's not that easy. Parents, it's not that easy. You know some of the things. Listen, you know some of the things that are going on in your kids' lives, and they don't think you know, but you know. And you don't know how to deal with it. Because how do you know? Well, same thing with pastors. Same thing with different pastors that are out there. They know things. And that's where the tears come in. That's where the frustrations come in. Just like parenting. How do you do it? Well, I should just be able to tell them. How many have tried? You tried. And Paul tries. That's why he says, listen, the more abundantly I care, the more abundantly I love, the less he's loved. That's one of the hard things to learn about trying to follow Paul. You're going to have some people that you care about, and they're not going to get it. What are you going to do? And Paul says to avoid, withdraw from, have no company with. Does it get to that point? It gets to that point someday. Some people are there, some people aren't. Well, what's your point? My point is this, is the local church is still has a purpose to it. Yes, the churches are closing everywhere, or they're changing their doctrine, or their standards are going kaflooey. Their music is stinkoly. Their doctrine is worthless. They're trying to be all things to all people like Paul says, but they're not avoiding what they should avoid. They're trying to have favor with all the community, like it says in Acts chapter 2. Things are happening in the local church that are terrible. In order to maintain a local church, you've got to do something to get money to come in to fix all the things that break and to build all the things that will get more people to come in to pay for the things you're building to get people to come in. Did you follow that? Pastors will go out and build something that they don't need, but if they build it, that'll bring in the people to fill the bill of what they're building to have people. That's amazing. I think that greenhouse over there, turn that into a log house because people like log cabins around here. I think we should put some kind of a basketball court is going to be the cool thing now because Obama's taken out the bowling alley and putting in a basketball court. And they wonder where our money goes. But anyway, but if we put in a basketball court, they want to go down to the school. We could probably start a ladies' basketball size in here. Really, we should just change this thing. This is old-fashioned anyway, and the color of the wood is like 1930s and all that stuff. We should build a new worship center over here, turn this into an indoor basketball or maybe a little floor hockey or something. We could get these guys, we could get them in here. We could turn this into a stage, Jimmy. We could wail. We could do that. But that's not what the church is all about. The local church is for saved people, the church of God, to be fed Paul's ways. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So Paul comes out there, he goes out to the Gentiles, he takes them the salvation of God. Then he feeds the church. He wants to feed these people, and the best place to feed them is in some kind of a gathering of some sort. And he gives, in verse 11, he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, don't go that we have apostles today. We learn that. Don't go that we have prophets today. We have evangelists today. I don't know one evangelist yet that's traveling this country telling people about Paul's teachings. I know of none. None. If there was one, I'd have him in. There aren't any. Pastors and teachers. In fact, Paul tells us to do the work of an evangelist. He says, don't be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. You know what an evangelist doesn't do? An evangelist is not famous for building churches. I've had evangelists come in here and, man, I'm sitting back here going, do I have enough band-aids for this sermon? Oh! Remember Peacock? Oh, I'm telling you, you folks, listen, we're laying on the floor bleeding to death by his second sermon. Do you remember that at all? He stood up there and went, rah! Whoa! What happened here? And then he lost his voice because of the weather and the whole thing. He's from Florida. I said, Dave, that's fine because you will never make it to Friday if you keep up what you're doing here. Anyway, so there's a purpose for this place. And I'm glad we have the website and Pal Talk, what a thing. Can't find anything else yet. A way for this to go out to the people. We've lost most of our Pal Talk listeners, by the way. That's because they get on the computer, read the sermon, audio, watch the audio later at their own timing. So it's not that we used to have a whole flock of people. They just got tired of Pal Talk, and they ought to. Pal Talk is at least we're keeping the signal going. So they're there. But they're here with us. Not just out there flaking their own thing. Ephesians 4:12. Why? What did he give these people? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting just means finish the job. He says in Philippians, I'll read it to you, being confident in this very thing that he hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This work that is working affection in you that believe will get that teaching and that working right here. Now, if he gave you a Bible, I believe that we'll be in our homes alone someday. I believe that this church will not be here forever. But until then, we have a place to have the church of God fed. We're not going to do something to bring in the lost. They're supposed to see that with you in your lives as they've changed. And you want to know why. Well, I'm coming down here to get fed. I'm going to come down. I'll take you to a meal. But make sure you're hungry because there's a lot of food on the plate there. So there's a purpose for this place. It also says for the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's us. Then it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, complete again, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We know as parents here that we know that our kids and grandkids and other church people's kids and the whole thing, it's always easy to figure out everybody else's kids but our own. But we know that there are deceivers out there just going after our kids. This modern world and this change that Obama's brought along and this world government which is going to rescue everybody's monies, all this kind of stuff, our kids are falling for this stuff. They just are. Who wants to have what mom and dad have, especially what grandpa and grandma have? This is a new world, Dad. Get used to it. Get into this stuff. I used to say that to my dad, so I guess I just got it coming. But that's what's going on. But speaking the truth in love. See, we just want to have the love thing. No, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. That's grace and truth. May grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what's really hard for folks that hear this kind of teaching and preaching, and they visit us for the first time, and they love what they're getting, and they see it so well. You know what they can't do? They can't leave their church. They just can't. The fellowship is tight. The friendship is tight. The pastor loves them, and they love the pastor. And the pastor's wife has all the answers for the ladies, and the whole thing is just one big happy ball of lie. False teachings. Deception. We know it's going to destroy the kids eventually with false teachings, but we just can't leave now because I'll lose them now. They have a hard time getting out of those things. Listen, it's the churches that have the false teachings that seem to be together. And something like this that preaches Paul like we do, it's been such a shock to us over these years that it doesn't take much for us to come apart. And that's really too bad. That is not the design. That is just not the design. There is a purpose for this place right here. And that's to hear Paul's ways and make those changes, and we'll get tighter. Because somebody else is going through what I'm going through. Somebody else is doing something else. It really must be hard for them. They've turned off what? I can't believe they have. Them? Oh, wow. I have to be there and encourage them and support them so I won't do it when they come over. Well, I quit doing it 2 years ago. I'm gonna make this change in my life. Oh, and somebody else over here is making some of these changes. Are you talking about the walk? Yes. This is what Paul is all about. He gives us an absolute marvelous doctrine to show us that we have nothing to fear in God. Just get out there and make some changes that please Him. And we're supposed to be here to just help each other. And we don't want that. Some people don't. Maybe we're getting tight now. Maybe some of the loose screws have been unscrewed and taken out. I don't know. We'll see. I hate to see that happen. I just do. I don't enjoy that sort of a thing. I don't know of any website people that we've lost, but they can just turn off their computer and go somewhere else. I don't know of our list of 100 or so how many still listening to this stuff. Isn't that amazing? We've got about 200 bodies that would be in here if they were all here. From what I can tell, the few people that I keep in touch with all the time, we've got Fred and Sam, I can't do it on the list here, and Clarence, blah, 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 blah. We'd be pretty tight if we were all together. But you know what? They got some issues within their home that are still pretty tough. Kids, but there's tough stuff going on out there. Want your kid to go off to jail? How would you handle that? And you knew it was coming for about 5 years. You did everything you could to keep that from happening. You go away and you come back and in jail. That's tough stuff. But we would be there as a family. Wouldn't we be there as a family? I think we would be. Maybe. I'd like to think we would be. What about the changes you're trying to make? You need somebody to help you with some encouragement? You come here and get whittled down a little bit because they don't really think you really mean what you're trying to do? So there's a purpose for this church. There's a purpose for this place. And Paul is the one. It is not Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. That is not the purpose of a local church. That was the purpose of the local church during the Great Commission. It's there. It's in the Scriptures. That was before Paul. We'll stop there.